That's my new favorite. Whenever we're talking to our public safety people, that's that's my new favorite one by U2, "Red Flag Day," which I've never heard that song before, and then I stumbled across it. Oh, that's a really good song for us. Joining us now by phone, we have Eric Gilmore, the director of public safety for Escambia County. Eric, welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Good to be here.
Good morning. All right. I have two. You know me. You and I have known each other a long time, and I'm always coming up with weird ideas. I have two.
Yeah, I agree.
What's that?
I agree. Yes, I agree. Weird idea. Go
okay.
Ahead.
I have two that I want to throw at you this morning, and then we got a lot of stuff about EMS and fire that I want to. We'll talk about that as well. Of course, lots of stuff to talk about. Here's my first weird idea. One of the things that I was thinking about, I don't remember how I thought of this, but you and I are always talking about how EMS has trouble. I mean, you know, the problem is getting good people and getting enough people to respond. And one of the clogs in the system, one of the challenges in the system is that you have these low acuity calls, alphas and bravos, which you have to respond to them, but they don't necessitate the same kind of care, attention, training, diligence, whatever, as D's and deltas and echoes. And then the problem is that if somebody requires a transport for an alpha or a bravo, then you've got two people on a truck tied up going to the hospital. If the hospital's backed up, they sit there and hold the wall, which means they sit there with their patient, because by law in Florida, you can't just drop somebody off. If they're under your care, they're under your care until you transfer them to somebody else's care. Okay. So the number of man hours taken up by all of that is a lot. And if there were a way to reduce it, it seems like that would be an advantage. And so here's my idea. My question for you first. You have to have two people on the EMS ambulance by law, right?
Correct. I have to have two people on the truck, one driving, one attending. Correct.
Are there ever situations that EMS responds to where it would really be perfectly adequate to have just one person respond?
The simple answer to that is no. I have to have to be able to be BLS, basic life support, which means I have at least an EMT in the back attending to the patient, and ALS, which means I have to have a paramedic or a physician in the back of the ambulance. So I have to have two. I can't just have a driver and Uber somebody, like an Uber, and drive somebody to a hospital. So by law, for my license, I have to have at least two people on the truck. You always have to have somebody attending to the patient in the back. Now, it might be a simple, I got a stubbed toe, I got a toothache, and these things happen. We have those calls that you wouldn't need somebody to attend to somebody. You don't need check vitals every 5 minutes or anything like that. But I, by law, to be ALS and BLS certified, I have to have two people on the truck.
Okay, I know, but I'm assuming we can change the law. If we could change the law, if I gave you the power, if I gave Eric Gilmore and EMS the opportunity that a call comes in that's it's a toe stub case, okay? And I gave you legally the ability to send a single person out to that call. Would that save you hours and money and create efficiency if that were allowed legally?
It would. Yes, it would.
Okay.
Just to let you know, we're trying to work the system in our favor by using sprints. So if I've got a crew, it takes two people in a truck. So you and I work a truck together. You're a paramedic and I'm an EMT, and you call out the day. So now I'm just a single person. I can't put myself in a truck and ride around and do what you're, like you're saying.
Right.
I put myself on a sprint, which is an SUV. So then I get in an SUV today, and those calls come in, and I put that sprint on it. And that individual goes out there in an SUV, and we get med control on the phone, and we either treat in place, or we call them, where you starting to use the micro transit, that they can come out and pick you up and then take you to the doctor or the hospital or whatever. So we're trying to use our resources wisely and doing those things. So we're trying to do that right now.
So that, see, to me, that sounds great. And all I'm asking is, you know, we always have legislators listening to the show.
Yes.
Is this something where if somebody could persuade the legislators to take up a revision of the requirement for two people, would that improve your ability to respond appropriately to A's and B's in a way that you maybe right now can't, and would make you more efficient, maybe cut down response time, maybe multiply your force factors? I mean, would that help? That's what I'm asking. Would that help you?
It would help. It absolutely would. The only concern I would have is the manipulation of the system, that people look at it and go, this is actually a Charlie Tuck call, but we're going to downgrade it to a Bravo and just get in the truck and I'll drive you to the hospital. Those are my concerns.
But at some point, we have to trust that you guys are going to do the right thing. I mean, we're putting people's lives in your hands.
Oh, no, absolutely.
You know, so I think we have to trust you on that. Okay, well, that's what I was asked, because I feel like, you know, we've looked at so many different elements of the EMS puzzle, and that was one that just occurred to me, and I thought, well, you know, let's ask. I'll ask Eric Gilmore. He's the expert. Okay, Eric, second one. Milton, in its budgeting this year, is putting in, I think it's 8%, I believe. They're putting in an 8% raise for their firefighters. And their stated reason for that is that they are not able to keep up with other agencies in the area because, for example, ECFR, Escambia County Fire Rescue, has recently done, you know, raises over the last couple of years. Everybody's always doing raises, and I hear this all the time. Escambia's got to raise rates because Santa Rosa raises rates. Santa Rosa's got to raise rates because Okaloosa raises rates. You know, Okaloosa's losing people to Pensacola. Pensacola's, you know, everybody's in this kind of arms race over the cost of firefighters. Two different possible solutions. One possible solution is, could there not be some kind of a state regulation of the wages? I want to pay people what they're worth, but I feel like as a taxpayer, you guys are always competing against each other in an unhealthy way, and it's costing all of us money. And in the end, it's just, you know, it's just driving up the cost, which is a problem for me as a citizen taxpayer. The other thought is, why do we have fire as a county or city-based function anyway? Wouldn't it maybe make more sense to have it be like District 1, where we have several counties all collaborating so that, I know you have mutual aid agreements with Alabama and with Santa Rosa County and all. It seems like, especially geographically, you know, like Gulf Breeze is 5 minutes from Pensacola. Gulf Breeze should be much more connected to the Pensacola Fire Department than it should be to Milton. Would it make sense to move fire functions to be district responsibility instead of a county-by-county or city-by-city responsibility? I know that's a wing question. I'm trying to solve this problem of everybody battling each other by raising rate time.
Yeah, that's a big onion to peel.
Thank you.
threw me a big one. Yes, absolutely. So let's go to the – if the state would regulate it, then yes, that would help. Because if you look to South Florida, they pay their – fire medics, you know, an absorbent rate, but the cost of living and everything's higher down there. So it's based on cost of living and things like that. To the independent or the district-wide type.
So let me just pause for a second. So if they did something like they do for setting the salaries for commissioners based on population and cost of living, maybe something like that could also apply to either wages or increasing rates or some kind of factor to control it a little bit might make sense. Okay, I hear you. Go ahead. Second part.
Yeah. All right. Second part. That one's a pretty big one because
agreed.
Each fire district has its own needs, and I say that. So you take Midway, you take Gulf Breeze. They're more beach centric. They have a higher a population, a higher density. The need might be more medical than fire. And you get a district like what we have here in Escambia County in District 3's area where we have more structure fires. So it's more structure fire centric. And then not to mention that because we are a county-based system and we're one of the few in the panhandle that's countywide. And I say countywide, which means we cover everything from the cotton fields in the north end to the beaches in the south end. We are very diverse in what our skill set has to be as far as farm medics with, cotton picker extrications or things like that, all the way down to water rescues and then even high rise. We have a USAR team, light technical rescue teams that go out and do rope rescues, trench rescues, confined space rescues. A lot of departments don't have that. They just have what they need for their district. And then some of the people go get their specialized training and not have a full on-set team to go be able to do certain things like that. So as I said, we're countywide. So we are, you know, from the cotton fields to the beaches. And then you look at these independent districts that are just, you know, they cover, you know, 30 square miles.
Right.
We cover 600 something square miles. They cover 30 square miles, which they know what the absolute need is for that district. I'm doing a fire structure fire. So fire suppression is one of them. I'll have brush fires from time to time in some of these wooded lots. That's no problem. I will definitely have medical calls. We'll have car accidents. But I don't have high rises, so I don't need a high angle rescue thing. That's something that if we run in that situation for whatever reason, I'll call a specialized team in with mutual aid. So it's kind of hard to put everybody put a square peg in a round hole and say everybody's the same when they're actually not. So, I mean, you take the city of Pensacola, their fire district geographically is about the size of one of our fire districts, Inslee. And so one fire department runs that one size district, while the city has about five different stations running out of to cover that same size. So depends on density, depends on the needs, depends on what your specialty is. It's like I said, you'd have to really sit down and break all that down to come up with a good variation.
Well, let me maybe I miscommunicated my suggestion. I didn't mean that everybody everywhere should be exactly the same. What I was thinking more was that if the region over which the fire authority governed were larger, then we could avoid some of the problems of, you know, each individual one trying to figure out what it needs and buying its own equipment when, in fact, we don't need that equipment there. You know, I think Escambia County in a lot of ways operates more efficiently than having, you know, 12 or whatever the number is in Santa Rosa, all the different fire districts, precisely because of what you're talking about. And it just struck me that, you know, why shouldn't, for example, Gulf Breeze and the Island and Navarre Beach kind of all be the water-centric ones like you're talking about? And it struck me that the problem is we assume the county line is a big red line, and it shouldn't be. And that's kind of what I was thinking about. So anyway, I don't mean to belabor the point. It was where my brain was, and, you know, trying to always not take assumptions for granted. At the very least, some kind of pay regulation or some kind of, so we don't have this bidding war problem. Seems like it might make sense. That's why I wanted to ask you, because I need to have a good answer. All right, you guys need dispatchers. Is that right?
That is correct. So as far as public safety goes, we're doing really good on staffing and EMS. We are down a little bit in fire right now, but we're gonna have a cadet class coming up. But dispatchers, we have a need for dispatchers right now, and it's online, the application's online, and we're looking for people who, one, you know, you don't have to have any training, you don't have to have any background in this. We'll teach you. You got to have a want to do this. You got to have a want to help people. And yes, it is sometimes it's mind numbing, but sometimes it's really on the edge of your seat because you're the first voice they hear when they call 911. But we're looking for people who, one, want to show up to work and do the work, and two, who would enjoy this type of being able to interact with the public, help the public out. We're down, I think, five or six positions right now.
Out of
and,
how many?
We really need to get some dispatchers on board. I think we have around 24, so we're down.
Oh, my God. You're down like 20%.
Positions. Yeah.
That's huge.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's huge.
The person who's listening to me now, and this is the person who's never thought about themselves as potentially being a dispatcher. I used to tell people who wanted to be board operators, are you good at video games? Because a person who's good at video games is going to be good at board operation. It's a weird, happens to be the same basic skill set, okay, typically. And it's not that you can't be, you can be a board op without being good at video games, but I know if you can play video games, you can play board op, okay? Who's the person that doesn't realize they'd be good as a dispatcher, that they're good at blank, and you want them to think about maybe they'd be good as a dispatcher?
So the person who, it's somebody who, like you said, if you like to problem solve, because you're looking at a screen and you're trying to make sure that you get the ambulance to the right area without crossing ambulances to the next call and thinking about thinking about down the road, where's this going to be? Where's my next call possibly going to come from? Where's my high acuity calls at? And we have the historic data. So it's problem solving. If you're good at problem solving, you like puzzles and you like to move things around, this is one of those things for you. Because the dispatcher is constantly moving resources here and there for EMS, staging them here, prepping them here. Somebody who's good at that, logically and logistically thinking, is a good forward thinker will be a good dispatcher.
Is it? I tend to think of dispatch as being a lot of people skills and empathy, but it sounds like what you're describing is somebody who's a really good board game player. You know, especially some of the complicated modern board games that require you to really think through all these possibilities and make good decisions to accumulate points, and points in this case is saving lives. Is it more the board game player, or is it more or video game player, or is it more the personality, you know, empathy kind of, or is it both really?
It is both. It is both because there's two positions in the room. One is a call taker. The call taker answers the call when you call 911. So you're talking to a call taker. When you call 911, you're talking to my call taker who's asking you those questions, what the situation is. They're going down a list of questions. And that person has to be empathetic. They're dealing with the public. They're the first voice they hear. And then when the call taker gets the information and the address of what the problem is, they kick it over to the dispatcher in the center part of the room. And the dispatcher then dispatches the EMS unit or the fire unit to that call. So it's twofold. So you're doing two different jobs. One, there's a call taker job that you might be doing some days. And then when you come in, you might be doing dispatching at the console where you're just dealing with the fire trucks and the EMS personnel.
Okay.
So you got to have both. You got to have good forward thinking, good logical skills, good logistics, and then empathy and good public dealing with the public skills.
All right. And I'll go ahead and say it because I don't mind admitting it. In my brain, I was thinking it was the same thing. I didn't realize it was two different jobs. John, you're nodding your head. You didn't realize it was two different jobs either.
Yeah, I
thought the call taker and the dispatcher were the same thing. So I'm glad you distinguished them. And also, obviously, the roles and the functions and the talents are substantially different, even though they might be overlapping. One might do the same job in different days. But, no, that's useful. Man, we always talk about so much and don't get to anything I want to talk about. So, okay, fine. Eric Gilmore, he is the director of public, and it's not because we talk slow. Anyway, Eric Gilmore is the director of public safety in Escambia County. Eric, thanks so much for the time. And if people want to be dispatchers, where do they go or want to find out if they can be?
They go to myescambia.com, look up careers, and there's a job application for dispatchers online.
Outstanding. Thanks for the time, sir. Thanks for keeping us safe, man. I always appreciate you.
Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate you.